All right, so I'm going to spend some time this evening just explaining my past experience with food. I am not recovered, but I am recovering, and I am definitely a compulsive overeater. I belong in this room, and I am a serious food addict. But I've only been in the program since February 1st of 2023, so I'm still fairly new in my recovery. I have a very long way to go, but I've tried my best to immerse myself in this program and absorb absolutely everything I can. And before I go over my personal experiences and issues with food, I would like to do just a tiny show and tell, if that's okay. Now, I know those that might be listening to this later won't be able to see these pictures, but just suffice it to say that I belong here. So I'm just gonna pull this up right quick. All right, so this first photo is from 2016. The day I married my new husband, and you can see obviously the compulsive overeating results there. This is May of 2018, and I honestly believe this was my highest weight. Now, I'll talk about this later
You
in my
know
share.
exactly, but your pictures aren't showing up, eh?
Oh, okay.
They are on my
Yeah, they
screen.
are.
I'm
I can
seeing
see
them.
them.
I
I'm
can see
okay.
them.
You have them. I
Mine was
see what's.
black. I apologize. Go ahead. If they're
Oh,
on there.
okay. Oh, good. Did you all see the first one?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. So this one in the blue, though, this is what I believe was my highest weight. And like I said, I'll talk about this later in my share. This was at a point in my life where I had just given up completely. I wasn't weighing anymore, so I'm not sure exactly how much I was, but we'll talk about that here a little bit later. So just remember this photo. This was later that same year, December 2018, giving you kind of the full view. And then I have one. This was the very last time in my history I can think of where I ever refused food. So obviously in the baby chair, you know, if only I just kept that up, I probably would have been okay. But anyway, all right, so on with my share here. So for me, in my history, there was never enough food. I would eat and eat and eat and eat until I was just too miserable to move. I've had a lifetime of this issue, but I just want to touch on a couple of incidents that I think were the most pivotal for me. One of my very first memories, and not just because it's food related, it is actually one of my first memories. It just happens to be food related. I was around 4 years old, and I know that because of the house we were living in at the time. You know, you had the memories of the rooms and everything. But I'd asked my mom if I could have some of the fruit we had left over from whatever, and it was in the fridge, and she said yes. Now, I don't know why there was a delay in between asking for it and actually going to get it, but when I went to get it out of the fridge, it was gone. Apparently, my dad had eaten it, and of course, he didn't know that I wanted it, but I was so devastated. I threw a fit like someone had cut off my foot or something. I honestly believe that is the moment where my greediness and selfishness with food started. And even now, for example, like at a church potluck, I'll get my plate and go sit down, but I'm watching that food like a hawk to make sure no one gets more than I do or that nobody gets that last bite before I've had everything I want. It's just ridiculous. And then sometime between the ages of 5 and 7, I think it was, because we're still at that same location, my mom sent me to the store to get something for her. And of course, that was back in the day when parents could let their kids walk miles by themselves without worrying about it too much. But anyway, there was a little change left over. So I bought some candy and I ate it on the way home. And I never told her about that. And it was actually only recently, after I started OA and my sponsor and I had gone through my food history, I think I finally mentioned it to her just recently. She had no idea. This greed and compulsiveness with food has just, I mean, practically since day one has been in my life. It's just been a part of my life. And then as I was growing up, my room, my bedroom was just off the kitchen. There were many times in the evenings when everybody else in the family was occupied in the living room or elsewhere that I'd sneak around the corner into the kitchen, get into the refrigerator and grab something and run back to my room and eat it. Whatever I could hold in my hot little hands was fair game. I probably started my first diet when I was in junior high. I was always the largest kid in my class. And by the time I graduated from high school, I weighed 195 pounds or so. And then I went off to college, and for the first time, of course, there was no one saying a word about what I ate or how much I ate. And my parents had paid for the full meal plan, which included 3 meals a day in the dining hall, plus use of the snack bar that was open all the time. So you can only imagine how much. Oh my goodness. And then, of course, it was my first time in the big city. Oh, I don't think I mentioned it before, but to back up just for a second, the little town I grew up in the panhandle of Texas, had a whopping 494 people the year I graduated. And there were all five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in my graduating class. So, not much to do around there. I was always a bookworm. I stayed holed up in my room most of the time, rather than hanging out with anyone from school. So that's another issue. Needless to say, I didn't learn a lot of socializing skills during my childhood either. And if I was reading a book, I was probably eating something. I don't think I ever did one without the other. So anyway, moving to the big city, quite a shock, quite a shock for me. There were so many fast food places, and they were so close to campus. I could hop in my car, run and get fast food anytime I wanted, and I did every chance I got. But I didn't just buy food for me. You'd think I was buying for an army. I would go through the drive-through and order enough food for 4 or 5 people, and then go park somewhere out of sight and sit in my car and eat every bite of it. Oh my. My junior and senior years, I lived in an apartment on campus, so of course it had a full kitchen. But remember, I mentioned earlier I wasn't social at all, so I usually chose to live on my own, which of course was perfect. All the better for my food compulsions, my habits, my overeating, my binging. And this continued on even after I graduated from college. And as a result of how isolated and shy I was the perfect target for a certain type of charmer. Ended up getting married when I was 23, which is fine, nothing unusual about that. But I was so totally naive about life. I didn't know how to distinguish the fake from the sincere. I didn't know a lot. So I didn't even realize my ex-husband was an alcoholic and a drug addict until I was already so attached and entangled. I didn't know how to leave. And then as time went on and he stopped hiding behind his mask, he became more and more emotionally and physically abusive. I learned much later he was a true narcissist. I didn't know. I just didn't know. I'd never even heard that word until after I finally divorced him in 2015, after 22 years of living through all that mess and his many infidelities. Anyway, and since he loved to run the streets chasing his high and his women, I was left alone a lot during our marriage, which I guess kind of a catch-22. Could have been a good thing, but usually a bad thing, because instead of getting help or just leaving, I isolated myself even further, even from my own family. I was just so embarrassed and ashamed to be in that situation. I wasn't the one doing all of that, but I took it on. I didn't want anybody to know what kind of situation I was in. So I crawled into a shell, and all I had was the food. It was my closest companion, my friend, my entertainment, my joy, my reason for living. And when I was eating, I could forget everything else, the chaos, the turmoil, and just be content. The only other thing that kept me sane and alive, probably, was my relationship with God. I grew up in church. I still went to church. I still went, that's the only place you could count on me being, was at work and at church. I knew the Lord. I loved him. I studied his word. I still do. I studied hard. And I was ordained into the ministry in 2010. Now I knew how to connect with my higher power, with God. I would pray. I would ask him for help. I would ask him for help with my ex-husband. I would ask him to please keep me safe. But I never once, I don't think I ever once thought to ask him to help me with the food. Because that's all I had, him and food. And thinking back, as I was preparing for this, thinking back on it, I really see at that time, really food was my God. That's what I was really relying on at that time. So I became a professional dieter over the years, of course. I would lose weight here and there, but I would never stick with it. It was always just a diet, just a means to an end. And when I got tired of dieting, I'd go right back to the food and gain every bit back plus some. And the first time I hit 300 pounds was 2011. I went on a serious diet then because I was bound determined I would never be 300 pounds again. I did really well for a while, counting the calories, but I got tired of dieting again and fell right off the wagon, took it out to the woods and burned it down. Then I tried a popular paid weight loss program. And I guess I thought maybe having to pay for it would keep me motivated. Who knows? But I joined and quit, joined and quit. I don't know how many times over the years. And it would always work while I was doing it. I would always lose something. But I would always quit again and go right back to my old habits, that binging, overeating. And I would always end up weighing more than ever before. And there finally, like I mentioned earlier, there finally just came a point. I just quit. Quit weighing myself, quit trying. And that photo I talked about earlier from May 2018, I believe that was my highest weight ever. I have no idea how much it was, but I occasionally was still, I would get motivated for a day or two and I would try hard. And then on March 9th of 2019, my highest known weight was ever was recorded at 355 pounds. So I think in May of the previous year, I had to have weighed more than that, but no way to know now. But anyway, March 9th, 2019, that was the day my new wonderful supportive husband said he would try that other program with me too. So the two of us doing it together, we actually did great. He lost over 70 pounds, and within 8 months, I'd lost 115. I was thrilled. But then COVID and everything shut down. So we were stuck in the house again with nothing but the food. And off I went. And then later that same year, my dad went into hospice out of the blue, or at least for me, it was out of the blue. He'd been ill for a long time, but he and my mom, neither one of them said just really how ill he was. And within a month, he was gone. And so, of course, I turned right back to the food for comfort, back to my old companion. And as a result, within about 8 months of all that, I gained 85 pounds back again. It was, oh my goodness, just ridiculous how fast it comes right back on again. December of 2021, I was then struck down by COVID and ended up in the hospital for almost, it was 3 weeks, about a month. My doctors told my husband to prepare himself because I wasn't going to make it. And it was all due to my obesity, all the issues I was having because of the obesity. Thankfully, the Lord had other plans for me. And I did come out on the other side. Here I am. But again, by January of 2023, this last year, I was back at my wit's end again. I just could not get my food under control. I still wanted anything and everything I could get my hands on. I was scared to have surgery because you hear about all the complications. That's all you hear about are the bad effects, or people eating through it. You have the surgery, but you gain the weight right back. So I knew that wasn't the way to go because I knew me. I knew my habits. At least I knew that much, that it wasn't going to do me any good. And I was nervous about taking all these new medications they advertise. I mean, who knows what kind of complications they may have that we just don't even know about. I mean, those are the things I think about. So I just had no idea, no clue what I was going to do. I just figured, well, I might as well just keep eating. I'm going to die anyway. I'm just slowly killing myself with my overeating and my compulsive food behaviors, my binging. And then January 31st, my husband, he is so wonderful. He was helping me trying to just give me ideas of what in the world can I do. And he suggested Overeaters Anonymous. I don't know where he got the idea. Maybe just the Lord himself said, hey, tell her this. So that night, I reached out to the local representative on our web page. And the next morning, I was in the 6:30 a.m. early risers meeting in Oklahoma City, February 1st. And I have not missed a single day since. Now, I wish I could say that I came right into the program and sailed right through like a pro. Unfortunately, it just didn't work like that. I still struggled with the food as I was trying to figure it all out. Do I just eat less? How does this work? There's no diet plan. What in the world am I going to do? How is this going to work for me? There's no weigh-ins. I just didn't get it at first. But within a couple of weeks, I found a wonderful sponsor who's here tonight and who helped me create the best food plan for me and an action plan to keep me accountable. And we started reading through the AA Big Book together. And for any newcomers out there, I'll say this: that is where you will find all of the instructions you need for your recovery. That book, I love that book. However, I was still not fully committing to this program. And I was still choosing to eat those things that were triggering those horrible cravings and causing me to go off the rails over and over and binge. And one day, my sponsor and my grand sponsor, I guess you'd call her, met with me one evening and just laid it all out, plain and simple. I could either fully commit to work the program or I might as well quit. The results would be the same either way, because I was never going to recover without working the entire program. I could either choose to abstain completely from my alcoholic foods and stop those cravings, or I could continue on my current path and end up destroying myself. That was July 2nd, 2023. I write these things down. I keep these dates because they are milestones for me. Now, since I have some specific health issues like the diabetes, the lymphedema, all of these things that were already, I was already dealing with because of my obesity, and I had to get those under control first. And because most of my trigger foods originate from these foods, I immediately chose to remove the flour, sugar, sweeteners, everything from my food plan, and I became abstinent. But that's not the end of the story. Unfortunately, a short while later, now this is good for him, bad for me, but my husband decided he also needed to lose a few pounds again, and he chose to go back to the other program. I mean, he saw what the work I was doing, but it just wasn't quite what he just didn't know yet. So he chose to go back to the other program we were doing before. And of course, my compulsive, sick mind said, hey, now, they are finally having in-person meetings again. And it had worked before. And it might work again. And after all, the definition of abstinence is to refrain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors. It's not a diet club. So then I had this brilliant thought. What? Brilliant thought. Okay, so what if I just add a few things back in here and there, and then, we don't have to keep cooking two meals, and I'll lose the weight, and I can still go to my OA meetings too. It sounded perfectly logical to me. That was the way my mind works. It still works that way. I have to be so careful. I even talked to my sponsor about it. I was so excited. Hey, I've got this great idea. She knew better. And she tried her best to warn me that it would probably cause issues, then I'd be struggling, just like I did before. But
3 minutes.
as sponsors, thank you. As sponsors, we don't make anybody do anything. We can make suggestions. But I took control and proceeded working my own version of the program. And in a few short weeks of struggling with all that food again, I found myself right back in the same position. And one night, I was listening to a podcast. It was late. And I sat straight up. I was listening to this lady, and she said, that people ask her, what do you do to keep people motivated? She says, I don't say anything. I want to help people who want this. Basically, she said, I can't convince anybody to do anything. If people don't want to change, and she was blunt with it, she said, if they choose to sit on their couch and eat their flour and sugar foods until their legs get amputated from diabetes, there's nothing I can do about it. Oh, that my eyes popped open. I sat straight up, and she made a quote from the Big Book. She said, she talked about those who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this program. And I was snapped back to reality so fast, my head was swimming. I immediately became abstinent again. I said, I can and I will. And I must have shared about that moment for days in our early risers meeting until they were probably all sick of hearing about it, I'm sure. Now, I will be honest, I had a slip on Thanksgiving Day this last year. But since then, as of today, I've had 157 days of continuous abstinence. So, what's happening now? I am fully committed to working my program. I've gone through the steps with my sponsor and I continue to work the steps every day. I have three sponsees of my own I'm working with, and I'm currently leading a 12-step workshop one night each week. I'm also getting ready to start an F12 temporary sponsors workshop for newcomers that starts this coming Wednesday. I get up at 4 a.m. every single day. I have my morning prayer and meditation time, do whatever OA work I may need to take care of for that day. I have my abstinent breakfast, and then I go to my early risers meeting. That is my foundation to get my day started. Then every evening after work, and even on the weekends, I'm either meeting with sponsees or leading a workshop. I am too busy to even think about food, and that's what I need. That's what works for me to help me stay abstinent. I watch for symptoms of relapse like a hawk. And for me, it starts with complacency and laziness. Those are my issues. So I stick to my simple food plan and I work my action plan and I do whatever it takes to maintain my conscious contact with my higher power constantly throughout my day. I stay very engaged and very busy, busy, busy. And besides, the Big Book says a couple places that strenuous work, one alcoholic or compulsive eater with another, is vital to permanent recovery. And in chapter 7, it says, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking, or in my case, compulsive overeating, as intensive work with other alcoholics or compulsive eaters. One other place I like to reference, and I love this quote, it's on page 130 in the Big Book, and it says, we have come to believe that he, God, of course, or your higher power, would like us to keep our heads in the clouds with him, but that our feet ought to be firmly planted on the earth. That is where our fellow travelers are, and that is where our work must be done. These are the realities for us. We have found nothing incompatible between a powerful spiritual experience and a life of sane and happy usefulness. I am so grateful for this program. I love the fact that I have to even I just spend even more time with my higher power, working on my spiritual life, as well as working on my emotional and my physical recovery. My higher power is helping me work this program, and he is saving my life through this program. Every day, I have to remember that I am powerless over the food and that I will only recover through the help of my higher power and doing this work. And in closing, I just want to share a short portion of my very, very favorite chapter of the Big Book, Chapter 5, How It Works, because this is where I had that epiphany I talked about earlier. And it says, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And I'll jump down a little bit. If you decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked and we thought we could find an easier and softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, or in our case, food, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Thank you, and I'll pass.